Here we are. It was the last day of the World Championships in Budapest last night. Day nine. I can't even count to 10 anymore. It's been an amazing championships. We've said that after every single night. We do a little 10-minute roundup. Thanks for joining us once again. Every night we try and get a special guest.
Special guest, yes.
Right? And maybe someone who's got something to do with the events of the night before. So today we thought, who better than our friend Tamsin Manu, world indoor 800
meters. Tamsin who?
Oh, who's this?
Who's this?
Strange voice. Who's this interloper?
Is that the same as Tamsin Lewis?
I quite like that you opened with me when we're talking about 800.
Well, because that was a surprise, but he's gone and spoiled it.
Well, my CV's a little bit shorter. It'll take the whole 10 minutes to get through
you. Yeah, but unlike me, she did actually win a world title.
Exactly.
And we are at the World Championships, aren't we?
So yeah, she's much more relevant. Anyway, we might have another guest here. You might have recognised his voice. He's a little bit famous. Seb Coe, welcome to the Backstroke Boys. Thanks for taking the time to chat.
There goes the neighbourhood.
he didn't know he was doing this in about 30 seconds.
Exactly.
I know, I've roped him in, it's my fault.
I thought I was coming across for a cup of tea.
So as you know, on the Backstroke Boys, we just have a little informal chat. We don't have to get our facts right, we don't have to know the results, and we can swear as much as we like.
Well, I've noticed that in the last 10 years of your broadcast.
Exactly. Well, as I was told last night, you're not journalists, you're fanboys. And I was like, absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what we do.
We actually need more of you in our sport.
Thank you very much.
That's our new tagline on our Twitter, isn't it? We need more of them.
So we're set outside the Intercontinental Hotel because we've got posh guests this morning. There are trams going past, but you're used to some background noise. So guys, listen, this has been a phenomenal World Championships. Let's quickly talk about the action last night and then see if we can just talk about the overall experience. The highlight, being the headline for tonight, the event that we've been talking about all week is the women's 800 metres. And the reason we've been talking about it is because there's three absolute superstars in that event. They all have very different tactics, they're all from different countries, they're all very different people, and it makes it really exciting. We've been saying all week, like, there's something about Mary. And
yes,
there really is.
But I like that.
We talked earlier in the week about her tactics.
Yep.
And you said exactly what you need to do to beat her. But last night, I don't think anyone could have beaten her.
No, I agree. She's just really stepped up from when we first saw her burst onto the scene. She was a 400 metre runner, has great 400 speed. She stepped that up again this year, her 400 pace. And I don't know how you would beat her, because I think now that she's got the confidence over the two laps, and she just... The thing that she also has is she looks like she's having a really good time out there. Like, I don't know how you get on a start line of an 800 and are that happy. She really does look
have
like she enjoys it.
Have you seen Faith Kipyegon before she
races? Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's joy personified.
Yeah.
But that's Kenyan athletics. Mm-hmm. This isn't a job. This is a labour of love. It's what they do.
Well, they sell the sport so well for you then, don't they, Seb? You know,
they do.
That 800, actually, you talked about them being from different countries. It really... shows off how track and field is such a global sport.
Yeah.
So you've got these three huge names in their countries and in their areas, their regions.
Yeah.
So a thing Mo is like the next big thing, you know, and she's come out and she's so super young. She's already got every gold medal that you could ask for. Keely Hodgkinson is super famous in Great Britain.
I love the idea of Tamsin defining somebody as the next best thing when she's already an Olympic champion.
There's so much more to come.
But you just feel like there's more. And how do you have a CV like that when you're so young? And I actually think the fact that she finished in bronze is the best thing for our sport going to Paris, because she's going to be so fired up on that training track that I'm scared about what she's going to produce.
Yeah, I was slightly surprised about the paucity of racing this year.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether, a lot of athletes... I will never argue or condemn a build-up. We all do it differently. And I thought at one point, because she was so anonymous during the early part of the season, I thought, well, maybe she's carrying an injury she doesn't want to talk about. But maybe, and this is a dangerous space we can all get into, where you just actually... You've won an Olympic title.
Exactly.
You've won a world championship.
Yeah, we can all get into that space. Yes, yeah.
Okay. Well, now you come to mention it.
Okay.
But, I just hope she's not feeling that she can't be racing because there's that element of expectation.
Yeah, I think
it
she
has
struggled
to be
with
a world record or it has to be a title.
I think she struggled with motivation. I mean, she in the mix zone, she was saying she just... couldn't get excited even last year, so hopefully getting bronze gives her that fire to come back even stronger. Next, next year.
It's a fascinating psychology, isn't it? Where you can be that good and having to be fired up to
at the age of 21.
Yeah.
What does Keely do? Because Keely's now got 3 global silvers in a row. She's lost twice to Athing, once to Mary now. But it's not that anything needs to change. She's running fantastically. But
I very quietly and discreetly just sat with Keely last night after the race. I was about to give some medals out, and she was sitting, and I just plonked myself on one of the cushions, and we were chatting. And what I love about Keely is she wasn't happy last night, and she ran well. Look, you know, it was 1:56.
Yes. Yeah.
It's
brilliant run.
In any era, that is a really, really fast time. And you rarely see that in races. There were no pacemakers. You know, everybody was running as hard as she could. We dissected the race a little bit. There's not much she got wrong.
No.
You know, you might arguably say that I don't like to see 800 metre runners go onto the inside.
Mm-hmm.
I like a clear line of sight. And there is an error 800 metre runners can make, and that is, my dad was a mathematician, he pointed that out. Actually, if you run on the outside of lane one or even into lane two, you're probably a couple of strides more over the course of that lap. But wouldn't you trade that unencumbered run?
Yeah, 100%.
And the economy of effort, wouldn't you trade that for being... And I think had she not been on the inside, had she had a clearer run, I think that might have looked a little different last night. But I agree with you. I don't think Mary was for beating last night.
No, she was brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
And her
dance
her
and her jump across the line. Yeah, exactly. That's what you want in our sport. You want our athletes to step up and be entertainers as well. And she has just done that brilliantly last night.
We were saying about Tambari. Tambari is like just a complete breath of fresh air.
Isn't
what
he?
I love so much about him is when he wins, you know he's won. Yep. You know how happy he is. And that joy radiates, doesn't it? And it's the same with Mary.
Yeah.
Whoever your allegiance is to, you can't be mad when she wins, because she's so happy that it makes you happy.
And they take you on a journey through their competition, which I think is brilliant. They all have different backstories, which the commentators and everyone can bring into it. But then through the competition, Tambari, the highs, the lows, their emotions written on their face. And so you feel like as an audience member, as a fan, that you go on that journey with them.
The best part of my job by a distance, and I know I'm privileged, it is having those Keely Hodgkinson moments. I came out of the stadium in Monaco after Diamond League a few weeks before the Olympics in Tokyo. They'd been delayed, everybody was under pressure, we'd all been in lockdown. And he had a shocking night in Monaco. He just didn't jump very well, and he was very depressed. And I said to him as we were walking out, I said, you do know what happened in that stadium tonight is going to bears no relation to what's going to happen when you get into the stadium in Tokyo. And, you know, the rest is history. He shared that amazing gold medal with Mutaz. And, you know, you do... So the public will take a view about what an athlete's like. You know, it'll be Tambari, plays to the crowd, he's a rock star, he's happy-go-lucky. They all have their quiet moments of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And he's exactly the same. But when it goes well, my God, what an advert for our sport.
Yeah.
So we're talking about people who are great for the sport. In the men's javelin, Neeraj Chopra, like what an inspiration. Like Indian athletics, that's a sleeping giant in athletics, right? It's the biggest country in the world, the most populous country in the world. Historically, there's been very, very few athletes. Maybe P.T. Usha is like the only name. And what he's done, not just for the javelin, because they were fifth and sixth in the javelin.
So 3 men in the javelin.
Oh, and Pakistan came silver.
Yeah.
But also we had women in the steeplechase, we had men in the long jump, and at the Commonwealth Games last year there was...
And the 4x4.
And the 4x4 was awesome.
So, like, be afraid. India's coming, right?
No, they are. And, you know, the writing's been on the wall for some time. And they've now got a federation. In fact, you know, before the World Championships here, we had our elections. The president of Indian Track and Field, Adil, is now one of my vice presidents, and he was an Olympic finalist in 1980. Holds the Indian record, gets athletics, and is sort of pulling this together.
Wow,
and they're on a roll. But the funniest thing was, You know, I have an association with Loughborough University. I'm Chancellor up there. And I was walking through the university not that long ago, and there's a guy sort of shuffling towards me. He's got 27 layers on. He's got about four beanies. I mean, he's absolutely smothered. And I looked at him and I went, that's Chopra. he's training up there. I said, what are you doing here?
It's freezing.
What are you doing here? I said, why? I mean, I love this university. It's got everything you would want as a sports university. I said, what are you doing here? And he went, it's cold. we're landlocked. It's the winter. He said, yeah, I love Loughborough, but I don't think I'm going to come back here.
It's not warm weather training, is it? Another event that we were very happy to see the winner was the women's high jump. You know, Mahuchik has not won a global title, which is so weird.
No, it's
in my head, she's won everything, right?
Silver in Doha, which is incredible.
She's got
her
last two silvers, I think.
Yeah,
and then she's only 21.
She got the bronze at Tokyo.
Right.
And then silver last year, and she looked like she was going to get that silver until Eleanor Patterson last year had that fabulous 202 attempt. So, no, last night she looked brilliant. She only had one sort of misstep and then cleared that bar, and she was focused as soon as she came out there. But the emotion that poured out of her after that goal was just fantastic. And she had a really good attempt at 207,
didn't she? And silver and bronze for Australia, which you must be very pleased about.
Well, yes, I was a little stoked about the silver and bronze. But, I mean, both our athletes, Nicola Olishlagers has been having a great season. And Eleanor Patterson, she actually had an operation at the start of the year. So 6 months ago, if you had told her she was going to be the silver medalist, she would have been absolutely rapt. And I think you saw that with her reaction, with the tears coming out of her. She was so emotional about that silver. And silver for her, I think, was like a gold. So.
But going back to the Ukraine story, that is such a huge story for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've spent a lot of time with the Ukraine Federation. We had on their Flag Day. Yeah, that's another track. On Flag Day, we gave them some poles and the mats were, you know, being destroyed. And then I went to their Independence Day. But that is a massive, massive message for the people of Ukraine.
We also just need to mention Morgan Lake, like, who was the most spectacular junior ever, like, you know, double world junior champion at the high jump and the heptathlon.
Yep.
And she's had a few down years. And I think the expectation of being a 17-year-old who's jumping 195, and then you come out and you hit the seniors and you're not coming first, you're coming, you know, maybe just scraping into the final. And she's had a tough time, I think, mentally and with confidence to come here, jump 197, come fourth in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it's spectacular. And there's a lot more to come from her.
Cool. And I think the new relationship with her and Rob, Olympic medalist, and he's finished fourth in Rio. He knows what it's like out there in a championship.
Robbie coaching him. Good guy.
Yeah,
good guy.
But you could see the relationship between them last night. Like, it was good.
Frontline information.
That's why I come here.
But it's one of those things where you could see they work really well together. But just, you know, you can be an elite athlete. You know, she had the 199 fabulous jump from indoors. To bring that to a major championship, sometimes having that inside info where Robbie knows exactly what it's like, how it feels out there, he's able to reset, you know, when she missed a few of the earlier clearances, he was able to tap into her mindset, and she just turned it around in that competition. It was a fabulous competition by Morgan.
It flags actually one of the biggest challenges we've got in the sport, and she's a very good example of that, and that is the attrition.
Yeah.
The attritional rate there is between, you get this Tamsin, but 18 and 21.
Yeah.
And you come out of the junior ranks. I mean, the sobering statistic is that the majority of athletes that even win medals in a world under 20s do not go on to represent. No, not go on to win medals.
Or even represent.
They don't actually end up representing their country as a senior athlete two or three years later. You speak to any coach, speak to Frank Dick, any of the guys that really are at the forefront of coaching, they'll tell you it's the toughest transition for a coach to take an athlete out of the junior ranks and into the senior ranks. It's far harder than going from 16 to 18.
Yeah.
18, 21, that's where we lose a lot of our athletes.
Well, talking of junior into senior, Jakob Ingebrigtsen, let's see, I like it when I do a really smooth transition.
Yes!
Jakob Ingebrigtsen,
I see where you're coming from.
got his gold last night. Obviously, we denied him in the 1500 earlier in the week.
Yes, we did. I feel like I'm Australian, but okay, we did.
I think as president of World Athletics, I can't really say we here.
You literally said yesterday that Josh Kerr winning was your favourite moment at
the championships. It was my favourite moment, but it had to be, because it was a racer's race.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah,
and it was his favourite event. Yeah. So, yeah.
But he got his gold. I have to say, though, and this frustrates us all the time, why are they allowing them to run round in 13:10 and Jakob will beat you in a sprint finish?
Yeah.
And Katia second. He's a bronze medalist at the World Championships in the 1500. Yeah. Why are they letting 1500
old school Kenyans and Ethiopians would not let
John
that happen.
John and Googie, Yobe Zondiki would not have let that happen.
But you say that. You say that. Why would the same African athletes have allowed Faith Kipyegon to jog?
We said the same thing.
To jog for three quarters of a 5,000 and then give her a 1500 meter
we
final
said exactly
when she'd already got 1500 meters in her legs. I had a very funny conversation with Faith because I was on the warm up track before a couple of hours before she was running the five. I said, "How many times have you run the five?" She said, "Oh, a couple of times." I went, "Oh, it's quite a step up then, other than the fact you broke the world record." she said to me, "What do you think?" I said, "How many qualifiers?" So she said, "Six." I said, "Well, you finished sixth." I said, "You do absolutely nothing more than you have to. You sail through, use it to get a bit of the junk out of your legs, you know, massage, a couple of days, where you'll be fine for the, you know." And she went, "Yeah, that's really good advice. That's really good advice." So, you know, she's clear. She's way into the top six. And she and, you know, Hassan are like kicking each other to pieces in the finishing straight.
It's very strange to us. Like, I couldn't even jog 400 metres. No. So, I'm not one to comment. But it just is very strange to me that people go out there with the mindset of, I don't know, just go. You know, you might come last, but at least give it a go.
Well, and the conditions were so hot out there and humid. So I think some of the athletes, if you look at the athletes who went to the front too early, Jakob did it in his 1500. He went and he pushed that pace, pushed the pace in the 800. Did they win? No. So maybe the athletes had spoken to their coaches about the conditions and said, okay, you don't want to go
but
too early.
There is
and you don't
something
want to push
that
gets
that overlooked
pace.
Slightly. Yeah, the time wasn't great, and you might think they were all, you know, falling into that. But I don't know. But I bet you anything, if you broke down that race now and you've got the stats guy sitting with us, Jakob probably incrementally pressed that over the last and that's where he's very, very strong.
It was fantastic.
He's a great championship runner. It's like we see the Diamond League and these fast times being banged out week after week. Everything changes when you get to the championship. No pacemakers, no pacing lights.
It's a racer's race.
Yeah, it's a racer's race.
And you're on a hiding to none when you're the favourite coming into a championship.
Well,
like
Jakob actually turned that into a Diamond League race, the 1500, except he was the pacemaker.
He was the pacemaker,
and he sort of, you know, I know him well, I'd say this if he was sitting here, but he was in no man's land.
Mm.
154 halfway through is, you know, it's quickish, but it's, if he'd taken them into 3:27, then he hadn't had to do it himself, and he'd had pacemakers and maybe the wave lights, then I don't think most of them would have been with him in the finishing straight. Yep. But as soon as you lose that, it really does level. Mm. It's a leveller.
So just one other final was the women's steeple chase. Yevi won. She was world number one a couple of years ago and couldn't compete because she was transferring country. So it's nice for her to have that moment. The other big events of last night was the 4x4s. You know, going in, America were always the favourites in the women's. They dropped the baton in the heat, which was...
Well, they got disqualified for being out of the
zone. Sorry, they dropped the baton. Sorry, yeah.
It was probably not a great changeover that they will regret for the rest of their lives. Yeah. But it was, you know, it was disappointing to not have the US, because you always want to have the best in that final make it exciting.
It was funny because I actually gave the medals last night to the men and women 4x4, and I walked out there just assuming that somewhere in the mix I was going to see a lot of my friends in the American team, and I looked, mum, you're not on the roster. I'd been sort of working and being in and out. I knew that the Dutch had won, and Femke, but I automatically assumed that they'd be on the roster. I thought,
let's end with them, guys. We ended the championships. So the men's, America ran away with it, as is to be expected when they are in a 4x4. France came second, which was a bit of a shocker because they didn't really seem to have a team there. I honestly don't know who one of those runners is.
No,
and I'm not being funny. Like, none. Oh no,
well,
Vallon.
They have great history though in 400 meters. They've had, you know, athletes come through. in 400 metres. And they have a good 4x4 program.
They've also been Olympic champions over 4x1.
They're
relay teams have always been well-drilled.
Yeah,
100%. It was their first medal in the championships. And going into Paris, they needed a medal, didn't they?
Yeah.
So like, you could see them go mad in the crowds that they finally got their medal.
And what I said about the French, I'm sure many people could say about the British team, because the British team was made up of four people who weren't even selected in the 400
in the individual,
of our selection team. So it is about getting that cohesiveness. And we had some real standouts in that relay who, you know, if they could translate that into the individual, they can be in individual finals as well.
400 meter relays is an interesting one, because if you look at the US team that won in Eugene and also won in Tokyo, there was only one flat 400 meter runner. I think it's an 800 meter runner, and then you had Sydney and Dahlia.
But there were 49 400 meter runners as well.
They're spoiled for choice. You have to. It's like, you know, your backbone is always going to be your four hurdlers and your 800 meter runners, because they, the endurance of that is never going to be a challenge for them.
I thought your Great Britain 4x4s were just sensational. You know, what you want to see from a 4x4 is every athlete to step up in the leg that they've got and just give you what they've got. But every leg of the Great Britain teams, they didn't just give you what they've got, they gave you more.
Absolutely.
And it was fantastic to watch. And the emotion of the two teams out there together, I thought that was beautiful.
And they both ran really fast times considering they didn't have stars in them.
Yeah.
We're lucky at the moment because in our 4x4 women's team, we've got two British athletes who come to the NCAAs and they do relays day in, day out. You know, you can always depend on an NCAA runner to put a baton in their hand, they're going to turn into a better athlete.
And Great Britain nearly medalled in every relay that was on offer. Nearly. And you were so close in that men's 4x1.
Four and one-fourth, was it?
What an incredible relay program. Wearing somebody's going to get pat on the back for that.
Wearing my international hat for a moment, I'm actually relieved, really relieved, the French did not go home empty-handed here, because that's not particularly helpful when you know, you've got an Olympic Games in their home city in less than a year's time. You really do want some expectation for French athletics fans that they, you know, they're in the hunt. And it's been slightly frustrating, because I can't remember, it wasn't that long ago, we were all in 2018, we were at the European Championships in Munich. They were the number one European nation.
Yeah.
The slide has been quite dramatic in French athletics. Okay, Kevin was injured,
they did have a lot of athletes that have that potential to step up. So they didn't get the medals, but they had Sasha Zoya make the final. Two high jumpers in the women's high jump final for the first time ever. There's talent
and
there.
Be in front of a home crowd.
I'm not worried about France. I think they're going to be brilliant next year.
We have to end on Femke Bol.
There we are. Look, there are three French athletes.
Jimmy Gressier is running past us.
Would you like to come across me?
We've just talked.
Please come and explain yourself.
We have to end on Femke Bol, as the entire championships did.
And started.
What a turnaround. She fell flat on her face in the end of the first day. And she comes away with two gold medals by the end, ending the championships with a gold. Fantastic turnaround, fantastic story, and fantastic athlete for the sport.
Well, she's an incredible athlete, but I'm going to let Seb finish with it.
Well, no, I mean, again, I'm in a privileged position, so I do get to chat. And I saw Femke after she won the four hurdles. I was up there giving medals, and I said, thank God it ended, you know, well for you. And she looked at me, she said, I've still got the relays to go. I saw her last night. I said, well, it seems to have ended pretty well. And she was, I mean, they were incandescent. When they jumped up onto the rosters, I gave the medals. I mean, they could have been anywhere in the world.
You know what I love about Femke? What she said was, when she won that 400 hurdle goal, how she said that she would never have been able to pick herself up and win that if it hadn't have been for her teammates in that mixed relay, who really did pick her up and get behind her. Yeah. They would have been disappointed that they didn't come away with the medal that they obviously had worked hard
on.
Yeah, they deserved. But they thought about their teammate first and made her feel better.
Yeah. It has been a phenomenal championships. Is there just a few words you want to say, Seb, about these championships?
Just thank you to everyone. I mean, this has been the best local organising committee we've worked with. You come to this city, the second you stepped off the plane, you realise, I'd been here a number of times beforehand in the build-up, that this is a city that sort of felt that you were wanted here. The branding has been striking. The people have been incredibly friendly. And look, there's no championship you create that doesn't have its challenges, but they've always been prepared to sort of work, find the navigable solutions. They've been fantastic. I've just loved every minute of it.
Well, big thank you to Budapest and big thank you to our guest today, our very special guest today. Thank you for joining us at the Backstraight Boys. Guys, thanks for tuning in every evening of these championships to enjoy it with us. You know where to find us on social media. There's lots of videos, there's lots of...
Yeah, I got into Instagram and Twitter. We've interviewed so many people this week and there's some really good ones, even if I do say so myself.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us. We've got to run. We've all got to get to the airport. So bye.
Well, thank you for letting me gate crash.
You're very welcome.
Bye.